Hey, well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the service this morning. Just remind everybody as we start that we will be having communion at the end of the service. So please be prepared with bread and wine if you wish to participate in the communion. But we welcome everybody to our service this morning. Martin's going to be bringing us the message a little later. So we're looking forward to that, Martin, and we're going to start with just a short word of prayer. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may we, the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And we're now going to sing, I Will Enter His Gates.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will sing, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad, oh yes, he has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. Like a roaring lion, he's roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so. Many souls, the meanest prey, the fallen, some weak heart. God has promised you and me today his overcoming power.
After that rousing couple of songs, we've got a reading that Martin has chosen from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. And this is going to be in the form of a dramatized reading from an organization called Share Faith with Kids, because we're all kids at heart, aren't we? However old we may be, inside we still feel like we're a kid, and we're certainly a child of God.
Jesus was one of the most famous people in all of Israel. One day, as he was teaching, thousands of people came to listen, hanging on his every word. He spoke and taught in a way that people could understand. There were people from all social classes. Some were Jews, others were Gentiles. Yet each of them found significance in the wisdom with which he taught. Jesus had a lot to say, and later during the day, the crowds became hungry. "Jesus, the people are hungry," his disciples came and told him. "You must send the people away to find a place to stay and find something to eat." Jesus looked at the thousands of people. It was a huge crowd. There were 5,000 men, plus women and children. Then Jesus gave a strange order to his disciples. "You give them something to eat," he commanded them. The disciples were confused. "We don't have any food. And even if we spent all the money we had on food, there still would not be enough." Then Jesus asked them, "What food do you have?" One of his disciples, Andrew, came up to Jesus with a young boy. "This boy has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but that is not enough for all these people." "Have the people sit down," Jesus instructed. The disciples went to work arranging the people into an orderly seating pattern. The young boy watched as Jesus held up his food and thanked God for it. Suddenly, a miraculous sign occurred. After giving thanks, Jesus started handing out the food. The more he handed out, the more food there was. God was multiplying the 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes to be enough to feed 5,000 people. The crowds were amazed. Once again, Jesus' disciples witnessed firsthand the power of the Son of God. Jesus was constantly illustrating and teaching them valuable lessons that would help strengthen their faith. With God, nothing was impossible. Not even turning 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread into a 5,000-piece lunch. As the disciples scooped up the leftovers, they filled 12 full baskets. This was an undeniable miracle. Who could have such power? Indeed, this Jesus was the Son of God. That day, thousands more people believed, repented, and put their trust in God.
We now come to sing a hymn that has been sung for very many years. It's "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." And after this hymn, Martin is going to be bringing us the Word of God.
Thank you. Stella. Join the meeting.
Thanks for that, Adrian. I hope you all are enjoying the service that we've put together so far. So I want to just look at this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's one that we all know extremely well. And every time you come to it, you can look and read and learn things from it. And today I've got three very quick points I just want to pull out of this. And they are, what do we have to offer? No matter how small our talent, God can use it. And how do we, the church, see feeding the spiritually hungry today? Interesting fact here again that Jesus has gathered, and here is a huge crowd that has gathered with him. And we're talking about a physical hunger with him, feeding them with bread and fishes. But within them, there is a spiritual hunger. And as I was reading the story, I was thinking of this spiritual hunger, that they were so hungry to hear and gather and get around Jesus, that they went to hear him, forgetting to pack a physical lunch. 5,000 men, plus women and children, and only one that we're told of in the story, brought a lunch with him. It's an interesting fact that the spiritual hunger has taken over. And here they want to hear what Jesus has to say. I'm sure part of it is they are drawn to Jesus as a result of the miracles and the things that he said. So how hungry are we to hear the word of God? How hungry are those around us to hear the word of God? 5,000 people coming to hear, and they're ill-prepared. And as the evening draws on, the disciples say to Jesus, the people are hungry. You need to disperse them. And Jesus says, you feed them. It's interesting, he doesn't immediately go into a, in inverted commas, miraculous answer. He just simply says, you feed them. So my first point that I've just mentioned is, what do we have to offer? If we were in such a situation, what would we have to offer this crowd? Are we talking physical food? Or are we talking about spiritual food? Are we talking about helping the needy, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, healing the sick, looking after those that are in need? Jesus' answer to the disciples wasn't just an immediate, well, find what you can, bring it to me, and we will sort this problem. But it also wasn't the answer I think the disciples were looking for, which is, okay, everybody, time's up. We need to go before the shop shut so we can all go and get some food. He simply replied to the disciples, you feed them. What would our response to that simple request be? My second point being, no matter how small our talent, God can use it. The disciples look around the crowd, and according to the story, all they can find is one boy who's come with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, a very small offering for such a huge crowd. And this little boy could well have sort of thought to himself, well, actually, this is my lunch. My mum packed this for me before we came out. Or he could have said, well, what good's me going up there with 5 loaves and 2 fish? I'm going to get very far with that. But there seems to be a situation where he comes up and in faith offers his meager lunch to the disciples. Because the disciples go to Jesus and say, well, all we've got is this young lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish. I wonder how embarrassed the boy felt. I wonder if he felt, this is such a small offering, it's not going to be any good. I wonder if he felt embarrassed because it was his lunch and he was thinking, well, I'm going to go hungry, and how are you going to make it go amongst all these people? But I think the lesson for us is, it is a small lunch among such a huge multitude. But God can take a small amount and he can use it. Whatever our gift, however embarrassed we feel by our gift, however minimal we think our gift is. God can take it, and he can increase it, and he can use it to fulfill his purposes. It also comes back then to Jesus saying to the disciples, you feed them. They found a source of food. So they give the source of food to Jesus, and Jesus simply blesses it and then hands it to the disciples. And it says, as they gave it out, it increased. And again, our minimal gifts that we've got, they will increase, not if we hold on to them, not if we hoard them to ourselves and feel we can't do much with this, but if we give it to God, he can bless it. And then as we use it, he can increase it. But unless we start to give it out, unless we start to share it and to use that gift, it won't grow. At the end of this story, we're told Jesus sent the disciples round with baskets, and they filled 12 baskets. 12 baskets of leftovers from 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. I wonder who got those baskets of leftovers. I wonder if when the little boy went home and his mum said to him, did you eat your lunch? He said, yes, but I've got some left. But what was left was so much more than what was given. And what the boy had to offer, which he had offered everything, but what was left was so much more because God had used it. And there we come to my third and final point, really. How do we, the church today, see feeding the spiritually hungry? We could sit back and just say to Jesus, everybody's hungry, Lord, they need feeding, and expect him to do everything. And all we do is join the crowd and wait to see what he's going to do. But from this story, my understanding is, if that's the case, then not much will happen. Because what Jesus is saying to his disciples, to us, the church, to us, a congregation in Kingsall, he is saying, you feed the hungry. You reach out. You go out there with bread and fish and wine, and you feed the hungry. It might seem an impossible task. We might not feel we've got that much to offer. We might only have 5 small loaves and 2 fish. But Jesus says, take what you've got. I can use it and I can increase it. We can't just expect Jesus to do everything and we sit back and just reap the rewards. There comes a time where Jesus says to us, no, today's lesson is you do it. So to end this message, I want to ask you, are you prepared to step up and to let Jesus use our gifts? Are we prepared to step up and let Jesus use our gifts? No matter how small they may be, no matter how silly it might make us feel, and no matter what that gift is, are we prepared to allow him to take it and to bless it, and so to increase it to fulfill his purposes? And just maybe we could be a part of a miracle in today's modern world. Let's just close with a quick prayer. Father, we thank you for this story. We often use this story to children because it sounds far-fetched. But Lord, that's the point of a miracle, is it's far-fetched. It's something that we couldn't achieve in the natural. So today, Lord, I ask that you would take our 5 loaves and our 2 fish, and as we offer them to you, you would take them and bless them. Hand them back to us that we might go into the hungry crowds and we might feed them and see it increase. And thus, as in this story, as we heard, many, many more people believed in the word. We ask it in your name. Amen.
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 We're now going to sing the song, Before the Throne of God Above. Beautiful. Catherine is now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession, and after that we will have and say the Lord's Prayer together. Catherine.
Let us pray. God of all creation, you hold the depths of the earth in your hands. You are closer to us than the air that we breathe. Fill our souls with your wonderful love and light. Give us strength and courage to reflect that love and light in the world. Let us never shrink back from who we are in you, or hide our light inside ourselves. Renew in us a sense of joy, painting the dark shadows around us with your light, your love and your salvation. Hear us today as we pray for a world too often darkened by hatred, evil, power and greed. Within our darkest night, let your light shine. God of love and hope, renew in us a deeper sense of who we are in you. Help us to be aware of your presence each and every day. Make us instruments of love and praise. May our words, actions, and lives be living examples of your forgiving, healing, life-giving love. We pray for our own local community. We confess our own failings and lack of compassion and love. We thank you that you forgive our failings, and we ask you to graciously give us spirit of love and forgiveness that sees only the good in each other, that bears no grudges and forgives all grievances. May we learn to forgive, even as you have forgiven us, that we may live together in unity. Even in the darkest moments, your love gives us hope. Love compels us to fight against coronavirus alongside our sisters and brothers. Love compels us to stand together in prayer with our neighbours near and far. Love compels us to give and act as one. As we pray in our individual homes, around the nation and around the world, we are united as one family. So let us pause and just find a moment of peace as we lift up our hearts together in prayer. Father, we as a congregation are hungry and we want to bloom where we are planted and resist the temptation to compare ourselves to others. Help us to see the ways you have uniquely gifted us as individuals to serve you and your kingdom. Thank you for making us just as we are. Forgive us for the ways we have compared ourselves and coveted the abilities of others. We pray that starting today, we will see the opportunities in front of us to use our gifts and our abilities to your glory. God of love, be with us all in this coming week. If we are travelling to go on holiday, keep us safe and give us rest. If we are just doing our normal daily tasks, may we feel your presence, Lord, and share your love with others. And finally, God of hope, in these times of change, unite our nation and guide our leaders with your wisdom. Give us courage to overcome our fears and help us to build a future in which we all may prosper and share. We ask all this, Lord, in your name. Amen.
Let us now say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We're now going to sing Jesus Stand Among Us, followed by Here Is Bread, as we prepare ourselves for our communion.
Stand among us at the meeting of our lives. Be our sweet agreement at the meeting of our eyes. Oh Jesus, we love you, so we gather here. Join our hearts in unity and take the love. is wine, Christ is with us, He is with us. Break the bread, taste the wine, Christ is with us here. Here is grace, here is peace, Christ is with us.
Come to our service of communion. Let us still our hearts and wait upon the Lord as we gather to partake of the bread and the wine. Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let us pray. O God, our mother and father, bread baker and wine maker, we give you thanks and praise. You worked the world into being, instilled all creation with life, and shaped us as your people. In Jesus Christ, the bread of life and the true vine, you feed us with the word and nourish us from the stalk. O present Spirit, help us recognize the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. Feed the world with this bread. Bring it joy with this wine. Give it leaven and salt in us. A community of faith strengthened by your meal. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. He took the bread, he broke it. Take the bread and eat, for this is Christ's body, which is broken for you. Take the wine and drink of it, all of you, for Christ said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you." Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us. Send your Holy Spirit that we may by faith obtain and internally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us compassion, who taught us mercy, and who taught us to love one another. Amen. Amen. We now sing the song, Everyone Needs Compassion.
Never failing, let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, kindness.
say the grace together in a moment. So please unmute yourselves as we pray. May the love of Jesus Christ bring us wholeness, the grace of God the Father grant us peace, the breath of the Holy Spirit instill passion, and the unity between them give us strength for this and every day. Now, let us say the grace together. The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and ever. Amen.
The service, next Sunday, 9th of August, will again be a virtual service, and Mark will be bringing us the message, and there will be morning prayers at 11 on Monday, Wednesday and Friday this coming week. Trevor, are the Methodists meeting for a service again next Sunday morning?
Yes, there's services again at St. Andrew's Church. Next Sunday at 1:30 and 11 o'clock, and then they'll be repeating it again 2 weeks later.
Okay.
They will be the only Methodist services in Northampton during August.
Yeah. Do people need to book to go to those services, Trevor?
Yes, they do need to book. If anybody's interested in going to the services next Sunday, then if they can contact me by the end of tomorrow, and I always need to get numbers in on Tuesday.
Thank you.
I think Carol might have. Carol Bob.
Yes, Carol, you've got King's Club next week?
Yeah, King's Kids. We're meeting in the garden at the Baptist Church at 10 o'clock next Sunday. So if you could just bear us in mind, that would be lovely, that people feel confident to come, and that we can do a safe worship with the children. And maybe that it doesn't rain, that'd be really good. So that's junior worship next Sunday in the garden at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Does anybody else have any notices they wish to enter?
I just wanted to say, Adrian, is Bernadette here? I just wanted to say how saddened I was about the service this morning. As you never said good morning.
I didn't quite understand what you said, Bernadette.
I said no one ever said good morning to me.
Oh, Bernadette, good morning. Lovely to see you.
It's hard to hear the voice all over the top of each other, but we're always glad.
Can we all give a wave to Bernadette?
Hi, Bernadette.
Good morning.
Bernadette, it's sometimes difficult because people don't see everybody on the screen at the same time, so not everybody sees everybody come in.
No.
So I don't think anybody gets excluded.
Yes,
Marlene. Without thought, it's just difficult to see everybody.
Yeah.
Marlene, when she phones in, no one ever says good morning, Marlene, to her.
Well, we don't see Marlene's name, I think. We don't always know when people call in on the phone, we don't always see their name and know who they are.
No.
Okay.
So it's not that people are excluded ever, because being thoughtless. It's just that I think under this Zoom we can't possibly see who everybody is.
Okay.
And everybody can speak up and say hello to everybody else, even from the phone. I think there's often chances for people to say, you know, hello, it's me.
Okay.
Here I am. But I would hate that anybody felt that they were being missed out.
No.
Deliberately, because I'm sure that's not the case for many of us.
Hello.
Hello, Daniel. Hey. See, Daniel is making himself heard.
Hello, Daniel.
Yes, and I.
Is your baby there, Daniel? Is your baby there? Yes. You've got a baby. You've got a baby brother.
Is he a good boy?
Have you been giving him a big kiss, Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good boy. Yeah.
I'd just like to say that we had another of our open sessions at the Baptist Church yesterday morning. We saw a few people we hadn't seen before, which was wonderful. And it is still going on every other Saturday. So there won't be one this coming Saturday, but the following one, can't even work out what date that is. But
15th.
The 15th of August will be the next one between 10 and 12. You're welcome. We have, if anybody came first and didn't really like it, we have made some changes to make it a little bit more accommodating. And we can welcome a few more people. So if you want to come along, that's a private prayer on the 15th of August. Everybody's welcome, Methodists and Baptists, and anybody else. We had some people looking at the notices from passers-by, so maybe one day somebody will venture up the path.
And
thank you.
I just need to make one correction. Paul's pointed out that I frightened Mark, because it's actually Paul who's preaching next Sunday morning, not Mark. Sorry for that confusion, Paul.
Okay.
We hope you have a good holiday.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian, and we do hope you have a, you and Stephanie have a really good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Martin, for your words this morning.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
Very good.
Thank you.
Sorry, thank you very much.
Oh, there's the baby.
There he is, look.
Oh, lovely.
Gosh, he's changed, hasn't he? Oh, bless him.
There.
Oh, that's lovely.
Just to remind everybody also that there are audio service on the church website, and on YouTube there are videos of the services. So if anybody you know hasn't been able to join us for a service, they can go to YouTube to see a video of it, or they can go to the church website and download the audio and listen to a service. And the services for all the weeks that we've been doing the Zoom services are on there for people to view and listen to if they want. So, okay, so good morning.
We're all cooing at the baby, Adrian. We're just yeah. Stolen the show.
Yeah. Freddie, say hello.
He's with baby us. To us.
Thank you so much for this prayer.
Bye-bye. Right. Bye-bye. 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 Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.